This is a car show, but it's also more, because cars connect us to every part of our lives.
Families, careers, hobbies, and adventures we never expected. So you should have a car you love, and we're here to help. I'm Paul.
I'm Todd, and this is the Everyday Driver Car Debate. And then it was Friday and there was much podcasting. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us and listening to the show and just being with us twice a week. We have fun, the two of us. We know you guys are listening. Thank you for listening and having fun with us. We hope you've seen Toyota content because there's more coming.
Yes,
okay. We did the GR Corolla and WRX. That was last week's piece. Actually, it came out last Sunday. This past Tuesday, we hit the embargo for the Land Cruiser. We did not hit the embargo for the new Camry, but that is coming up 2 days from now on Sunday. The new Camry, we drove it in both front-wheel drive and all-wheel drive forms. We're actually able to get into both versions, which was quite illuminating. So that is coming up. Then there's more Toyota content downstream. We actually drove other things like the Alfa Stelvio. That's coming as well.
That's true. That's coming.
Lots of really good stuff is in the pipeline. Plus, but we have some big stuff coming. So I wish I could share more. We are seriously ramping up the everyday driver entertainment side of what we do. While guess what? Hooked on Driving is still doing track days.
That's right. Both coasts going on. West Coast is Thunderhill Raceway 3 Mile coming up Friday, April 26, 2024. We really like Thunderhill. Very technical track. A lot of good speed there. Mm-hmm. But also, if you're on the East Coast, Homestead Miami Speedway, 2 days, Saturday, April 27th and Sunday, April 28th, 2024. You can meet Steve Furman, our regional owner there. He's got more energy than most people that you've ever met.
Yes, true.
And you can register for both of these at hookedondriving.com.
Those are both available. Actually, if you are looking around in either the Phoenix area or the Houston area this weekend, you have a car you'd like to go somewhere. Actually, this weekend, Arizona Motorsports Park is having an event with our Southwest region, and also Grand Sport Houston's having something on Sunday. So I know that's last minute, but if you find yourself with a car and needing some track days, it's going on there as well. It's madness. It's awesome.
So much going on. And then also, we are sponsors of Brock Yates One Lap of America coming up May 4th through 11th, 2024. Mm-hmm. You'll see us on the 24 sponsor list there, which we're very proud to partner with them.
Yep.
And a big shout out to Solomon Rosenthal and Brian Humphreys.
Yep. And they actually, this is, if you don't know One Lap of America, they are hitting a lot of racetracks in a very short period of time. This is the legacy of the old Cannonball Run. Okay. This is the legacy of it. And now it is, how do I put this tactically? Legal.
Yeah.
And involving many racetracks. Yeah. There is the road tour element of it. Can you accomplish getting all the way through all these racetracks? Because you keep hitting these racetracks in the same car and trying to get your car to survive. It's like a week-long six-track. You've got to look it up. It's very cool. They also have a YouTube channel that will be doing live streams. I'm going to list it for you right now.
Streams are really cool. Those are from the morning of the paddock all the way throughout the day, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's crazy. This is technically called the Tire Rack One Lap of America, because they start and end at the Tire Rack facility, which is very interesting. You can find them on YouTube at Official OLOA, One Lap of America, Official OLOA on YouTube. They will be doing lots of live streams, and we're just excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, for sure. And their website is onelapofamerica.com. You'll find us on there. We're very excited to be a part of that as well. I agree. I am very excited to introduce to you all a new partnership for Hooked on Driving and Everyday Driver. And it goes back to more than 12 years ago when I bought my 987 Porsche Cayman S. Mm-hmm. And I went back and looked at our videos on the main channel that came out 12 years ago. It's the Porsche Cayman S review. It was the black car with tan interior, manual. I really still kind of miss that car.
It was a great car, yeah.
So we filmed that when I had first purchased it. Got it, loved it.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a single car review, okay? As Todd moved to Utah, he was, you know, you were moving on with your life. You and your wife and Young Sung moved out to Park City. And then
I can't believe how long ago that was, but yes.
Gosh, I ended up keeping my skis in your garage.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then I would come out here to ski and stay for the weekend and then go back home. And then I ended up moving out to Park City. But in the midst of doing that, I realized I needed to sell that car. Mm-hmm. And so I did. And I sold it to a gentleman named John Connolly. John bought the car in late 2014 from me.
Okay.
So it's been
10 years ago.
Decade.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
He had started a shoe company at the time called Oboes, and it was more like a outdoor kind of hiking, outdoor adventure sort of shoe, and was doing very well with the business. And we kind of lost contact. You know, I had still kept in touch initially just a little bit, but we'd kind of lost contact with each other. And then come to find out, reconnected with him a few years ago, and he had sold the car. Because I had just wondered, is that car still around?
Yeah, yeah, where did it go?
He had sold the car, and then he had moved on. That kind of gave him the car bug.
Big time.
And that gave him the Porsche enthusiast bug, too.
Yes, he's backstroking in the pool of Porsche.
He had moved on to, I think, a 911, and then he moved on to a GT4, and currently campaigns a Manti Racing GT4.
Wow.
He got his racing license. Along the way, he sold that shoe company and now started another called Chicane Racing. If you go to chicaneracing.com, they are our new partner because John and I have connections of more than a decade.
And the person that John partnered with is your neighbor.
So it turns out my neighbor Scott is his business partner just down the street from me, which is absurd. And their head of product is Steve in California, who just recently came to the Laguna Seca track day for Hooked on Driving. And he bought his Cayman from our Cayman Generations film, not one of them in there, but because he had watched the film and we had convinced him to buy, I think, a Cayman R.
It's a Cayman R. It's a gorgeous Cayman R. He's only had it for a few years and he bought it because of watching our Cayman Generation piece. And you guys have to also understand, over the years, you have almost yearly, you ask us, hey guys, what do you use? Like, what are good shoes for driving? Mm-hmm. And we have muddled through. I mean, I've worn Pumas for a while. You've worn other things. Mm-hmm. Puma has recently changed the last on the shoe that I was driving for their driving shoes, and I bought a couple pair just expecting they would be awesome. I don't like either one of them. Mm. So I was frustrated. This was before the Chicane opportunity
even came
along.
Which I didn't realize was going on, by the way.
I was frustrated by them. I couldn't find a shoe. I've been wearing my old beat down, I think they're called Speed Cats, but I don't remember actually what they're called, but my old, like really old, like 6 or 8 year old Pumas.
You'd beat on those.
That
things.
Are very beat on. I'm still wearing those because those are the ones that fit. And then you bump into John and this whole Chicane thing, and you were like,
couldn't believe it.
Let's see if we can get ourselves some shoes to try them. And I will admit, I came in really skeptically.
Did you really?
Because I was looking for a replacement for that Puma shoe,
which you loved, yes,
which I really, really like, especially in this tiny little footwell of the Lotus Elise. You got to worry about your shoes. So, you know, you know better than I, because there's a few product lines here, but whichever one I got is the one closest to the narrow driving shoe that was like that Puma. And I love it. It's great.
They are called Speedsters. So those are the ones that you now have.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got the Sebrings,
which is more of a daily shoe.
Yeah, a little more comfortable, kind of a more of a paddock shoe, but both have excellent pedal feel. And that's the whole point of Chicane, is focused on pedal feel and comfort. And so in December of last year, I had seen a posting from Ross Bentley. He was at the PRI show in Indiana, and he was headed to the Chicane Racing booth to meet John Connolly. And I went, you are kidding me. So I finally put the pieces together. We talked over the holidays, then finally connected. I'd met Scott, my neighbor, a few times here and there,
but
we had never really, he knew I was into cars. I knew he was into cars. He had a cup car, a 997 cup car, I believe it was. Okay. And it turns out Scott, my neighbor, is John's private driving coach, which
they
is amazing.
A new driving shoe company together.
Which I couldn't believe. So they have founded Chicane Racing. I saw them at the booth at Rennsport and didn't put anything together until I reconnected with John. And it was so nice because you guys know us and we're always wanting to take on the right sponsors because it's all of you listening that we have in our minds. It's not just partnering with companies just willy-nilly.
We get so many requests, guys. I can't even tell you. Yeah,
it's got to be the right product that serves our audience, you listening, because it's you that make this show run. It really is. Yeah. It's all of your letters to us, but it's all of your viewership, your listenership, and passing along and telling people about Everyday Driver and now Hooked on Driving. It's all about you guys. So we're very defensive of our audience when it comes to sponsorships, and it has to be the right fit. And in this case, pun intended,
it is the right fit.
It really
fit.
Was.
Yeah.
And I had no idea this has been more than 10 years in the making for this partnership. So when you go to Chicane Racing and you use the code DRIVER24, you can be confident that you know people. They are part of us, we are part of them, and there's a personal connection to us.
That is an exclusive 15% off the retail price of these shoes, which is really, really cool. And if you want to go nuts, if you're a person that actually you do track days and you have a fire suit and you need shoes for that, but what I'm excited about is we now have an actual answer. Hooked on Driving answered the, where do you go tracking? Chicane has answered the, what do you drive while you do it? Here's the shoes. So
exactly,
I'm really, really
right.
excited about them. I have my red ones because, of course, I had to get red, right? And I really, really like these shoes. I've been driving them in the Lotus and they're awesome. They're great. Thankfully, they are their Puma replacement that Puma didn't make for me.
That's fantastic. Hey, we just had the Genesis GV60 again. We did a review on that just last year.
The Eye of Sauron.
so weird.
It rolls over.
It's like normal now because we've driven it before, but we just had that back in our press car rotation. So it was very cool to drive that again and realize how much we like the Genesis brand. Mm-hmm. And it does drive well. It's very quick. I do wish it had better range, but mm-hmm. that's an EV issue, not Genesis issue really. And it was really cool to, like I said, experience Genesis again. It gets looks.
They're one of the very best EV really five-seaters. And it's a sister car to the Ioniq and also the EV6. I like it better than the Ioniq. I mean, I know the Ioniq has the new N version, but I'm just talking about the style and design. It's a much more of a luxury car feel than the Ioniq. I actually want to drive the EV6 from Kia because that's actually my favorite styling of the three, but they all share chassis and they work very well. First car debate relates to rodents. I didn't think we'd be going there, but Ross is writing in from Michigan and he said he's pretty sure that a squirrel ate his wiring harness.
Ross is a 26-year-old grad student at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. He's working on the mechanical design and control of powered prosthetic legs.
Wow, that's cool.
Ross, thank you for writing. He's a big fan of the show, a budding enthusiast, thanks to our spending of his money. We're about to spend your money, Ross.
Yeah, we are.
He's never had a chance to own a vehicle that wasn't an SUV or a CUV.
Hmm.
He also hasn't had the chance to learn stick yet. He'd like to very much. He's done routine maintenance on his cars, but most of the time he just takes it to a shop. Because he's got to work on weekends.
Of course, yeah.
His current daily is a 2011 Honda Pilot with 210,000 miles. Unfortunately, part of the engine wiring harness was bitten through sometime over the weekend that he wrote to us.
So it's either a very hungry neighbor or a critter.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
The most likely culprits are the squirrels, as Todd said, but he says he's currently working with a dealer and insurance to get the new wiring harness, which costs in parts and labor over half the value of the car.
Not that surprised, actually.
Yeah, yeah. They're really expensive. Also, Ross, mice really like wiring harnesses. Mm-hmm. I worked for somebody, Richard Holbrook, the designer. He had bought a new Land Cruiser LR4, and mice chewed through the wiring harness of his new car.
Well, and if you park somewhere cold, we've had this experience before. Critters sometimes like to use the engine bay because it's warm. Mm. We had, at my house when I had the BMW Z4, we had a rabbit we had to check the hood for.
Oh, my gosh.
Because you could open the hood and it'd look up at you like, oh, are you using the car now? And then it'd run off. It's like, well, just get out.
Beat it.
Yeah.
tasty meat-flavored plastic sheathing.
Seriously,
right?
Yeah.
Ross was hoping to make this Pilot last until he graduates in a year and he gets a better paying job.
The squirrels had other plans.
Yeah, they did.
It's a squirrel horror film.
It's been a wake-up call for he and his fiance while they get some value out of it, so they're thinking about selling the Pilot.
Okay.
So depending on the cost of repair, they may total the car, which in that case, he needs a new daily right away, and he's already started shopping. So currently, he's got this 24-mile, 30-minute highway commute to campus 3 to 5 days a week from his apartment in Farmington Hills. There's a back road that he sometimes takes just to enjoy the ride.
Love it.
You can enjoy the ride in a 2011 Pilot.
Yes, true.
He's looking for something good to commute 30 minutes to an hour on the highways, but something fun on a back road, or if he decides to take the long way home. When his fiance and he go on vacations, maybe some good, you know, road trip kind of feel to the car. So he's leaning towards hatchbacks. He thinks they're awesome, or smaller CUVs. The front runner is a Mark 7.5 Golf GTI.
Okay.
But he's never owned a non-Japanese car, so he's worried about reliability. He's also never had a PPI done, but he believes he should have that done for something like a GTI.
Yeah, I would say something like anything you buy, but yes, a GTI for sure.
And
yeah.
In our case, it's the post-purchase inspection because we're stupid enough to buy the car.
And we buy things because we see videos in our heads, and then we go, oh, wait, somebody should have checked this first. Don't do the post-purchase inspection. Please do a pre-purchase inspection. I will say this. I did one on my Lotus Elise, which was quite expensive and extensive, and I'm very glad I did. So in general, pre-purchase is better than post-purchase.
Ideally. Yes. He's had friends, good experiences, driving friends Honda Civics, CX-5s, Crosstreks. He's heard good things about Mazda 3s and Corolla hatches. He wishes modern WRXs came in hatchback form. And his fiance currently drives a 100,000-mile Honda CR-V. I like how we rate cars by their mileage. Yeah, that's fine. CR-V just, with 100,000 miles.
High miles broken is what he's saying, for sure, yeah.
She loves it. She likes them having and owning SUVs. And he says good gas mileage, comfort, practicality, the fun of hatchbacks. He says that's the sweet spot for the compromises between his desire to have an FRS or a BRZ or Miata and his fiance's love of SUVs.
Okay. So
you know, trying to work that out. That's where Todd, you and I come in.
She is now listening. I will say, you don't need two SUVs in your life.
No.
You don't. No, you don't. Anyway, moving on.
She works at GM as an engineer, but he's not sure if there's something in that lineup that meets his needs, so he's open to thoughts.
Camaro. Oh, wait, sorry.
Yeah, she can get probably A-plan pricing.
Probably get a fantastic deal on a Camaro before they really go away. Right. Yeah, that's awesome. C8. No, ooh. terrible answer. I mean, great answer, great but terrible answer. Yeah, moving on. That problem is that the budget is $24,000 to $25,000, so even with really good pricing from GM, you're not getting a C8. You're probably not getting a Camaro of any ilk with that, which is too bad. That's a hard Paul limiter. He said poor grad student is his current problem. He's hoping he can find a good option for around $20,000 or less because, of course, they're saving up for things like wedding and house, and I'm sure you're thinking way down the line, I'm going to say it right now, do not buy this next car because you intend at some point to have kids.
Yes.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Let's buy the car for now. Anyway.
He says he'd like heated seats due to Michigan winters, Bluetooth, blind spot monitoring, Android Auto or CarPlay. He also wants our opinions on whether he should buy a manual or an automatic for this car. He's leaning an auto because his fiance can't drive a stick, isn't interested in that. And he's also hesitant to do so on the only new car he will have to drive and need for his commute to work.
Okay.
He wants to play it safe and just get an automatic. But he's open to suggestions, I think at the right kind of suggestions.
Yeah.
They've had some times where they've had to swap cars and she's needed his.
And that's difficult, yeah.
You know, they have to work that out. So he's got a great friend who's offered to teach him, but for the time frame, he's got to get a car faster than he'd like.
For sure, yeah.
So maybe an automatic for this choice. And then he can learn over the summer manual transmission.
If it wasn't for the squirrels, he'd have time to make some real decisions. But Ross is stuck due to squirrels eating habits, which I never expected would be a sentence
tasty
I would say. But here's where we are.
Wiring harness.
Ooh, this one's a Honda, guys. Get over here.
He's nervous about Kias and Hyundais because of engine issues that he's read about. He knows people that have had him, but he's open to our thoughts because he does love the Veloster N.
Ross, you were right to love the Veloster N. That is a lot of great car for the money. They are very, very fun. We are not, it's not like we haven't heard about engine issues. They do happen with those cars. You know also about the base models and the fact that you could use, I mean, kind of your fingernail to start them if they had a key. But, you know, if you had the start button, it worked. But I think, I mean, people used USB. I think you could just use like a long fingernail or like,
you know,
sheer will to make it work. So anyway. But that was a thing as well. But I mean, I want you to at least go drive the Veloster N because everyone we've known that's had one has had a great experience.
That doesn't mean DCT. He doesn't have to get the manual. You
certainly could. So at least go drive one. I think they'd be in your budget and you would enjoy them. You've got to get something with some flavor. No Crosstrek. I'm sorry.
No. I know,
you can't go that way.
Yeah.
But I do like the Veloster N. There's other good options here too.
I went with the Honda route because I'm reading through the lines here and you're a Honda guy. You've got 210,000 miles on a Honda and it's a known quantity.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't want to rush you into something that is something you've never had that you're going to have to really wrap your head around, like an enthusiast car. And it's kind of hardcore and I really need just a car. I need something that's going to delight me. It's going to be comfortable and be affordable. And then we can eventually work on whatever fun car that will be. We can do that a little bit later. Because it seems, Ross, like you're rushed right now and you just want a good choice.
That is true,
a solid choice. And I do love that Veloster N. That would do it. But I understand your concerns. Maybe it's too hardcore. So I did stick with Honda products.
Okay.
But first I'm going to Acura and I'm recommending a 2023 Integra A-Spec for $25,400 in Colorado. An Integra, a new Integra.
That's excellent.
I also looked at 2020 and newer Acura ILXs. I say 2020 and newer because that's no longer the Beak. We hated the Beak.
We're post-Beak, yes.
And then 2021 and newer Acura TLXs.
I wondered if they were down there.
They are, actually.
Be your play, Ross, because
it's just the two of them.
It's just the two of you.
Yes.
It is the world's smallest four-door, but the front seats are great. The dynamics are unsung. That's a great one. I'm glad you found those. That's really cool.
Owning, Ross, a TLX, 2020 and newer, 2021 and newer, excuse me, that might make you want to spend more. You say you don't have, you know, it comes down to the monthly payment, I think, and what you can put towards it. But that could be looked at as a longer term car because, again, I'm looking at your Pilot. You're used to long term. It just runs. I'm going to put high miles on it. It's got to be great. And this can be the long term car, which might enable you to spend a touch more on it. So if you do find a TLX that's 26 to 30, in there, it might help because you know Todd and Paul think it's an excellent car.
You would enjoy it on a back road and you would love it in a road trip. That'd be a very, very good car for the two of you. I really do like that. It's good.
Last on my list is the Honda Civic Touring. I wanted you to get an SI, but they're only in manual.
And they don't have heated seats.
And they don't have heated seats. Mm-hmm. So I went with the Honda Civic Touring that is on our test drive channel. Mm-hmm. We drove it a year and a half ago.
Yep.
We squealed the tires. We wrung the snot out of that car.
We pushed it like it wasn't the Touring model. Yes, true.
It was sort of like, there's fun in this car. There's fun to be had. And that's the, I think, ECVT on that car. I
believe so, yes.
And it was still fun. Mm-hmm. We still enjoy driving. It's a lift back and they're, I think, 29 to start. So I bet you could find one used right in the sweet spot of your budget too. But I like the Acura ideas.
That's really good. Very good stuff. Ross, I think Paul's really hit on some excellent stuff there. That TLX is compelling for you guys.
If you can find one.
But that's really good.
Yeah, it might make you want to spend more because you know this is going to be the long-termer and then you can fill in with some cool fun car.
Sure. I want to mention your GTI real quick. I think the GTI is an obvious choice here in a good way. There's nothing wrong with your GTI interest. I think you should go drive one. It sounds like you haven't driven one before. I want you to drive a GTI.
Maybe one of his buddies.
I want you to drive a Veloster N. Please drive both of those before you make this decision and consider that. I think that the GTI, there is, especially higher mileage, you start to get in some more costly maintenance with that car. And I kind of just noted that because it relates to my wild card. Okay. So GTI is decent. I think what you should really try to find is a couple year old Mazda 3 turbo all-wheel drive.
That's the sweet spot, isn't it?
That's a really good car. Mm-hmm. That's a car that is plenty nice enough that you and your fiance can just take a nice road trip in comfort and be happy. Mm-hmm. But it's dynamic enough that when you have that fun back road and you want to push it a little bit, you're going to laugh. You're going to enjoy that car. It walks that line really, really well. And I think you can probably find them for your budget. Find one a couple year old. The other thing that's interesting about the Mazda 3 is it comes without a manual, but an actual 6-speed automatic, a real transmission. There's no CVT hiding in there. And it also, I mean, it's not the excellent DSG that the Golf has, okay? You could get the dual clutch transmission as well in the Veloster. And so it's not one of those with the paddles, but it is an excellent, hardworking, long-running 6-speed automatic in the Mazda 3 turbo all-wheel drive. We drove that against a prior gen Golf R. You can find that on our main channel. Lots of interesting discussions came out of that piece. So that's my primary one I want you to consider.
Audience, you know that we're living in the future when we consider an actual automatic transmission to be like normal.
Yeah.
Like this, an actual real transmission.
You didn't go CVT. It's not infinite ratios. Anyway, one of my wild cards was the Civic Si, but I quickly threw it out because it is manual only and no heated seats. You want heated seats.
Yeah. It's
but
sweet,
my
though.
My actual wild card is you need to find a BMW 2 Series xDrive.
That's good.
Because if you're considering a GTI, here's why it wound up there. If you're considering a GTI, then I don't think you having a used 2 Series is any more of a reliability gamble than owning a GTI. Now, neither of those are Hondas. Paul's recommended the TLX, excellent choice. But the 2 Series xDrive, you're going to find a surprising amount of backseat space in the 2 Series. It has significantly more than the BRZ FRS that we like so much and you've even got on your list. More than that, decent-sized trunk. There are so many options out there for this is the trim, this is the engine. I think you're bound to find one in your budget, and I think ultimately you would like it more than any of the hatchbacks from behind the wheel.
Those are really good options. Ross, I hope you haven't just gone bought something quite yet.
Hopefully not.
Hopefully this gets to you soon, and we wish you happy hunting, happy driving. Hopefully you can still get rid of the Pilot for some kind of money and add that to the budget.
Park it in the yard with the hood ups. Just give it to the squirrels.
Let them feast. Springtime is here, and good news, everyone. Ceramic liquid wax is now available. It's the most durable liquid wax Griot's has created to date. Satin Finish Ceramic Trim Restorer renews faded trim. It's good for tires, too, and repels water, chemicals, dirt, and UV rays for weeks. Don't forget Foaming Glass Cleaner, that's new too, which is a professional strength formula for fast, streak-free cleaning. Finally, there's pre-measured car wash pods, so you get the right amount of soap when you use a hose and bucket. It works with foaming cannons and foaming sprayers too.
Remember, all Griot's Garage products are 100% guaranteed, and all liquid products are made right here in the USA. When you're ordering at griotsgarage.com, use the code DRIVER10 for 10% off everything else on your order. That's G-R-I-O-T-S. Enjoy the finest quality car care products you can buy at griotsgarage.com.
Jeff F. is in Canada asking if there's such a thing as a fun EV sports car.
Should I answer this and then we move on? sorry, that's terrible. I mean, this is the struggle that we're at right now because there's a lot of EVs. The problem is because SUVs are all anybody supposedly wants to drive, and because EVs are the next thing we're all supposed to want, then you merge the two, and that means everyone's making a five-seat EV.
Jeff's budget is from $0 up to $200,000 Canadian. Jeff recently came into some money and is now considering many options in the $0 to $200,000 price range.
Okay.
There's one or two cars that fall into that budget.
I think we can find something with that range. Even you, Paul, could probably stay in budget, I think.
Well, see, I can't because Jeff... The Taycan Turbo GT just got released. Everyone went to Spain to drive it.
Yes, they did.
And they start at $231,000 on Porsche's website. That's US, but still.
Yeah.
$230,000.
But you can get lesser Taycans and they're still quite good. And you can end up with, like, you know, crazy things like back seats.
The Vysok package, Jeff. See, I've loaded one out and I added the Vysok package, which deletes the rear seats and turns a four-door into a two-door.
It turns a four-door into a two-seat.
Two-seater.
That's what's even more bad.
So
you could have
two-seat.
Back doors you could open and look at nothing. It's the problem with the Marizo version of the Corolla. I have doors to nowhere.
You look at nothing.
Yeah.
But it topped out, I think, at like $289,000, but it added a sweet wing on the back.
No,
says Vysok.
The seat's been taken out and created and turned into a wing. It's essentially what's happening.
200,000. We got to bump that up. These are rookie numbers. We got to get those numbers up. Now, they currently drive a 2019 Model Y and a same year Chevy Bolt. Prior to that, they had a Volt.
All right.
And after a week of owning it, Jeff swore he would never own another gas car. Owning two EVs has only reinforced that feeling. He hates car service. Reduced complexity has meant he's never needed to see a dealer except to change the tires out twice a year because he lives in Canada. Winters are a must.
Love it. Okay, good.
He's owned a Golf, most fun car he's ever driven, a Sentra, which is garbage, a Saturn L100, also garbage.
Okay.
And a Pontiac Wave, which is an underrated Daewoo. I have never seen underrated attached to the word Daewoo in my life.
Talk about an insult. Underrated Daewoo. Now, I do want to stop here and say real quickly, this is a fascinating paragraph here because, Jeff, you're giving all the reasons why you love your EVs, and I totally understand it. But then you also are saying in the same time, the most fun car to drive you've ever owned was a Golf.
Which is a gas car.
Yes. So I just want that noted. All the positives of the EV, I hear you. But what's interesting is, even though you definitely prefer the electric, and we'll continue to break this down, I do think that is a key sentence that leaves the door cracked. And you even acknowledge it later. You say you love the acceleration of EVs. You find both your current cars fun to drive. The Model Y is fantastic at crushing miles. You love all the tech. And the Bolt is fun and chuckable. It is surprisingly fun and chuckable, but you then hit on the next thing that we both felt, which is the seats are not comfortable enough. Mm-mm. You say you're actually too tall for them. We agree with you. But they're both coming off lease soon. So the intention is to replace the Bolt, probably either keep the Model Y or lease another Model Y because it does a lot of road cycling. It's perfect size for bikes and or dogs or all of the above. So the Model Y or some variation of a new one will stay. The Bolt is being replaced. He's hoping for a second car. He'd like it to be fun.
Vysok package on the Taycan Turbo GT, my friend. 280. Just spec one up. Just, Jeff, just for fun.
Just play.
Just play and see where you come out. Maybe you don't get the Vysok pack, but if you do, then you'll want to take it on track. If you don't, you still can, but it does keep the price down. We're saving you money here, see?
That's what we're all about here.
We're back to 230. But, you know, I'm just saying, I'm just putting the option out there. His initial thought was a Model S for the second fun car. He drove it. He liked it. Attractive, fast, drove pretty well, he says. But it's another Tesla, and he really hated the turn signals. Like hated.
Like enough to probably not buy the car. He said, I could probably get over it. But we're talking about Model S might be out just for turn signal.
So he says it's not so expensive that he would not feel bad chucking the dogs in the back. He likes cycling, putting the bike on the roof or bike in the back. He test drove the BMW i5, but found it to be compromised with a long, empty hood, fairly numb ride, and pretty small trunk, all things considered. He tried the EQE in both 500 and AMG forms. The 500 was ponderous and boring. The AMG variant tightened everything up. But the problem is the interiors are too much, they're too nice, and they're overpriced at $160,000.
I think Mercedes has missed the mark across the board with their EQ products.
Completely agree.
Yeah, but anyway, onward.
So he does come to the Taycan. He thinks it's gorgeous. See? Cross Turismo format would allow the
you
bike.
You got there. Look out. Okay.
He's not driven one yet, but he's sure it's awesome. I think it's awesome. But at the very top end of his budget, he doesn't own a garage, so he would think it's a shame to keep a car that expensive outside. His other nagging thought is that he should just get a fun used sports car and wait on the true electric sports car rather than a fast sedan.
So back to a gas car. He says he loves small, chuckable cars. He thinks having one again would be a blast. But then he works his way back to, hang on, he's going to have tech and service and gas stations and all the stuff he doesn't want. He also doesn't want three cars where we can go, we'll get another electric, Jeff, and then just go buy a, we're going to say cheap Miata or FRS or, you know, we are. But we don't want to do that either. So he really is talking about two cars. Plus he calls out, he really wants a halfway decent interior. So the GR86 isn't nice enough. You've listened to this podcast at least once, Jeff. So thank you for paying attention.
I like the Cross Turismo, Sport Turismo.
It's hard to beat. Jeff, look, here's the headline I was joking about at the front of this car debate. There are no EV sports cars yet. The answer is no. We have to move on. They just don't exist yet. We're getting there, but nobody has made it work. And we're getting close, by the way, but nobody has made it work where they're willing to take the risk on the sales of a straight EV thing that is specialized enough to be a driving machine and not a people hauler.
Although I'm wondering, with the recent launches, Jeff, we just saw the Hyundai Ioniq 5N get released at Laguna Seca, and they're claiming that this is the first real driver-focused EV. It's not a sports car. It looks like a bloated hatch. But from everything that we've read and heard up to now, things pretty impressive. They do top out about $70,000, which is pretty much in the average sweet spot for most five-door cars. You're looking at
you're right.
The Polestar 2 or the GV60 or things in that arena or another Model 3. You can load one out to 60, 70, somewhere in there. So I want you to consider, if you're going the EV route, the Ioniq 5N is a driver-focused EV.
That's true.
One of the first, even though I don't consider that a sports car, but I'm wondering if EVs are going to go in a particular direction, and that is performance driving. The market has spoken. The market's going to continue to shake things out of both gas and EV cars. We think they're going to coexist peacefully for a long time. There's not going to be one take over the other.
There will be warring factions, but generally they are getting along, yes.
That's going to continue for a long time. There's not going to be a switchover. There's not going to be a going back to...
It's midnight tonight, everybody. We're going all EV. Cha-chunk. Yeah.
Or they'll never exist again. Whatever you read about the current state of the EV market, it's going to change, but they're still going to be around in some form or another. We're going trucks, we're going people movers, and I wonder if performance EVs are going to really become a thing, because at that point you don't care about range or mileage.
Yeah, that's true. You have to, it has to work for your life again. Yes.
You're using it for performance driving, which is why I'm so curious about the Taycan Turbo GT Vysok package, $289,000. That is not for everyone.
True.
Even though you've touched on it here. So I bring up the Hyundai Ioniq 5N as something to investigate, because it's now out. Once the press launch happens, that means you can probably pursue one and be successful in getting one. But similarly, for the gas-powered options, those are not going away, in my opinion. And there's two that are great, the GR Corolla and the Civic Type R.
Yeah, really good.
You mentioned all the things you don't like with gas-powered cars, but there is one thing that those will always be missing, and that is a great manual transmission.
Yeah.
The things we enthusiasts love include manual transmissions, and there's variants. There's, you know, Hyundai's claiming some sort of interaction with the 5N. Koenigsegg's invented one, but there just isn't the same feeling of feeling in control of a machine like that. And that manual transmission, I think overcomes, you tell me, I think it overcomes your, your dislike of what owning, you know, your dislike of gas cars, I guess. I think it's compelling enough in both of those to really consider it. And I'm considering your cycling habit and the dogs. Both of those can fit, roof rack and dogs in the back. They're four doors.
It's very good.
They're fun to drive and they're within your budget very easily. And of course, it depends on availability. Sometimes you'll get discouraged pursuing one because of dealer markup or availability. I get it. But those choices have to be on your list because that will work. Both of those cars, even though Type R is only front wheel drive, winter tires, I think it can really work for Canada. I think it works for your driving. And manual transmission still wins all.
Great stuff. Jeff, I've got some other thoughts for you here, but Paul's hit on a lot of really good ones. I want to say I want to work my way to an interesting wild card because it really wouldn't work for your need for bikes and dogs, but I'm going to get there. The point I want to say here is if you're looking for a dedicated sports car, right now in the first half of 2024, you have to buy a gas car. If that's what you're looking for. So once we acknowledge that, we are talking things like Cayman or Boxster that would be nice enough for your needs. We've got a decent interior. Even the ND Miata has a surprisingly nice interior.
You can
get yourself a bike rack. I mean, it means it's going to be you and the dog or you and your spouse. There's not going to be both.
How many dogs are there?
I don't know, but he just said the dog. So you, but you know, you get bike racks, you can do sea sucker stuff. There's a lot of options for a Miata. I think you would thoroughly enjoy that car. It is simple enough to just run. I don't think it's going to be in the shop much. So you can get a brand new one of those and probably really love it if the focus is sports car. So now let me talk about EVs. We aren't quite there yet, but we're getting there quickly. You brought up the Taycan. I want to mention the Audi e-tron. It is the cheaper platform partner that you could argue, we've argued, might be more attractive. You see even fewer of them. I love the Cross Turismo version of the Taycan. And of course, now you can get it four doors and two seats. But the Audi e-tron is slightly less expensive and also excellent to drive. We're a big fan of that. I have to mention the obvious. You like your Tesla Model Y. It's a little bit too high seating position. What about a brand new, they just refreshed it, Model 3 Performance? I don't think you can ignore that car. That is a very capable car, even though it's not a dedicated sports car. But here's where this gets interesting. Because this week while we're recording, there are journalists driving the Macan EV. We haven't driven it. It's going to be sold alongside the gas Macan. But knowing what we all know about Porsche and what they've done with the Taycan, I'm going to bet the Macan EV is pretty good to drive. And this is the harbinger of the upcoming 718 Cayman and Boxster EV. What are those, a year away, 2 years away?
Hard to know, but I keep wondering about that Taycan and Macan technology being stuffed into a smaller package.
It's going to be. That's where they're headed. So now that doesn't solve your immediate problem because it sounds like your lease is up this year. But if you're looking for a dedicated sports car, I think Macan is an option in the immediate term, but then Cayman and Boxster in the next year or two or three, that's, and I think there's going to be other competitors, but then it brought me around to things that exist right now. You didn't like the BMW i5. You thought it was too big. We drove the i4 and were quite impressed.
We did. That i4 is brutal.
And
it's
the
fast.
Thing about the thing that BMW has done over the last 5 years, and I've noticed this and found it very, very interesting, is BMW, who used to be in the early mid 2000s, the king of hydraulic steering feel. When they went to electronic assist, they lost all their steering feel. But what they gained is a universal feel to all of their steering racks if it's a gas car or it's an electric car. And I think this was on purpose.
I do too.
I think agree. So. Yeah. All of their cars could drive the same, so it was easier for you to consider an electric instead of a gas car. And I'm going to go this far. You're going to be shocked, but I'm going to go this far. I think the current M3 might be made irrelevant by the BMW i4. Because in the upper trims, the i4 is very similar in power and performance.
Yeah, it's
so
quick.
Drive the BMW i4 and see what you think. Now, I have a hot hatch for you, the Mini E.
Oh,
surprisingly good hot hatch from Mini, all electric, not a lot of range on there, but it would be the more fun version of your Bolt. So the Mini-E is an option. Are you going to feel bad about putting a bike on the top of a Mini and throwing a dog in the back? Probably not. So Mini-E is an option. And then I have a wild card.
Love it.
No dog, no bike. It's a mix of all worlds. It's sporty. It's EV, but not entirely. It's the BMW i8.
We need more i8s in the world. We need more i8 competitors.
I agree. Just the BMW i8. That's a blending of all of your worlds, Jeff. So I have to put it down as a wild card, even though I don't know that it fits. But there are options depending upon which part of your brain wins. In the questions, Nick Lancey on Instagram is packing his 2000 Boxster S for a, sounds like a full day, 362-mile road trip to Moab on Friday. He'll be listening to the podcast on the way. I hope so. That sounds great. He said, what should he absolutely bring with him on a trip to Moab? Are there must-see things in Moab beside Arches National Park? Be sure you have a reservation for Arches. I'm not sure when the reservation program starts, but I think it is already started for the year. You might be ahead of it. I genuinely don't know what date it starts, but they do control the number of cars going in and out of there. Typically, the afternoons are better than the mornings as well. Just keep all that in mind. So there is that. So definitely see Arches. But what you need to do is seriously consider either A, renting a Jeep and doing some of the Jeep trails, or B, renting a mountain bike and doing some of the mountain bike trails. Both of those are worth it. For me, those are the reasons that I want to rush down there, especially for the mountain biking, but the off-roading is amazing as well. Even though you're taking your Boxster down there, it is worth taking the trouble to rent something. And don't think, well, I can't rent a bike because I can't get anywhere. There are shuttle buses in Moab that will take you to the trailheads and pick you up.
Got an 80s track drive crush over here.
Okay.
John, this should have been jump, track, and crush. Drive, track, and jump, or something okay. like that. Because the cars are the General Lee, the Knight Rider, the Kit Knight Rider, and the A-Team van.
Ooh, okay. All right.
Drive, track, crush.
Hmm.
I got to drive Knight Rider on a daily basis.
Oh, really? Okay. All right.
I got to drive that everywhere. That just would attract attention.
Yeah.
People would be like, oh, yeah, that's cool. And then the A-Team van, it's a van. The van's not doing it for me. The A-Team is cool. It's just not doing it. I'm not seeing where that goes. But the General Lee is not really a track car. And let's jump it. Like, let's
true.
Do what it's like that. Trained yes. to mm-hmm. do. It's like, mm-hmm. it's ingrained. You jump that thing, right?
I'm close to you. Now, the problem with the A-Team van, as cool as it is, you cannot park a windowless van anywhere in the world anymore without people looking at you suspect. Okay. I'm sorry. It's just not, you just can't do that. So you got to crush the van. I'm sorry. It just gives the wrong impression. All the van's got to go. Right. I actually think you have to track Kit. Because wasn't that the car that defied physics? It was like, you know, thousands of miles an hour and always cornered. And apparently you're going to beat everybody. If it does half the stuff the show claimed,
that's true.
You can run in the fastest run group at a Hooked on Driving event and nobody's going to touch you. You're going to lap everybody multiple times. You can take your hands off the wheel and just tell Kit to drive it for you when you get tired.
Why are you having fun?
I don't know. Because I'm not sure. Anyway, separate thing. So Kit's the track car, and I do want to daily rock the General Lee. Yes. And in case you haven't seen, apparently the General Lee can like stop 18-wheelers that are going down hills with no brakes. So, I mean, that car can do anything.
Drum brakes are the best.
Any issue you have. And it squeals its tires on dirt, which is really a special trick.
Brent Hertz on Facebook is talking about the new RX and sent us a photo, which is absolutely gorgeous. And yes, if that comes out, if Mazda makes a new RX, anything close to what they're teasing from a concept perspective, I say we've got a new winner on our hands. That
looks
would be
cool.
Step up. That would be like a Supra competitor, I would think.
It would be, yeah, for sure. And that would be really, really cool.
The inline six in that.
Ooh. Yeah, the problem is with the R designation, they're going to try to do rotary something. And I think they will probably hold themselves back as a result. I hate to say that.
They can't. Ah, that is gorgeous. Brent, thanks for sending.
More travel questions. J.M. Ward, 9812, says he's planning a quick road trip through Zion and Grand Canyon in May. They're bringing a 2022 5-liter Mustang, and then they're looking at Turo Alts to go along on the trip as well. They have a 2016 BMW M4 convertible, a 2016 Mazda Miata, a 26, apparently they're all 2016s, 2016 Dodge Challenger 6.4-liter RT Scat Pack. They're leaning Miata for contrast to the Mustang. What would we recommend on these southern Utah windy roads? I love the Miata as the counterpoint to the Mustang. That is a fantastic counterpoint. So that is probably my lead choice as well. However, the Mustang isn't convertible, it sounds like. So I think the 2016 BMW M4 convertible will be fascinating because the cars are similar enough in concept that I think you'd be fascinated jumping back and forth into the two iterations of the same idea. You'd have similar space in both, but the M4 would have the bonus of the convertible.
Grayson Green As a Todd, a question for you, Todd. Uh-oh. Update on the Overlander Cayenne.
Oh, no.
Pending?
Working on it is the answer, yes. Sourcing parts, that's the answer.
And then he's asking me, when does the Ford Expedition Overlander build begin? Because it's inevitable with my love of SEMA Overlanders. Yeah, but it's only 8% of SEMA Overlanders. So yes. Only 8% of the truck can be touched, and I've already done the wheels.
That's true. And you've taken the roof racks off. It looks surprisingly stealth. It's very cool.
Really cool.
Yeah, it does. It's the Iron Man spec you've done. It's very nice.
It is the great winter vehicle. It's our shoot truck. Mm-hmm. It's really thirsty, and I love it, and it's cool, but the biggest thing is I just like a supercharger on that for the altitude. I just want to drop a supercharger on that bad boy. If you've got a debate, write to us everydaydrivertv@gmail.com for all your Topic Tuesdays. We love those Topic Tuesdays. Keep them coming.
Yeah, some great, great ones have come in. We've got a lot more good ones coming for sure.
Of course, your car conclusions. We've got to touch on that again. And your car debates. We love hearing from you guys. Thank you for writing. And we're always looking forward to next time. Cheers, everyone.